What's
Hi,
up?
Chloe.
Hi, our guest for today, Jason Otter. This is going to be so awesome. Hi, Coach. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So, Coach Otter was a D1 basketball player. He played overseas, and now he's in charge of Otter basketball. And before we hop into our interview, Coach, do you want to say a little bit more about yourself?
Well, yeah, we've been running camps for, 25 years now, so quite some time. Just working with kids, and I've also was a inner city school teacher for 25 years as well, so I've been in a public school system, which we won't really get into here, but no, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling.
All right. So my first question is, when did you become a Christian, and how and why did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up, I was originally baptized Catholic, but I grew up in a Christian home. So I can't ever remember a time not in God. And, from a very young age, I heard that, I knew that Jesus had my sins, and I was forgiven for any sins that I committed, but I was rebaptized because nothing against being baptized Catholic, but I just thought it was important as I got older to be baptized. And I was rebaptized in the Church of Christ when I was my first year in college. And I just felt like it was something that I needed to do, even though I had been baptized Catholic, but I just, didn't remember that obviously, because that happens at a very young age.
Okay. Well, since you just said that you pretty much always remember pretty much being a Christian, my next question is there any time that when you were a Christian that you were in a situation, a difficult situation that you could share? And what did you do in the difficult situation? And if you could go back in time, what would you do differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always put, as Christians, we're always put that come about where you're uncomfortable or you're having a hard time maybe relating to other people. I can specifically think in college, some of the things that that maybe I didn't approve of, but I still had to have relationships with those players. So as a Christian, I made sure that I still continued. Like, I couldn't say, well, I'm a Christian, so I can't have a relationship with you, but I just made sure that I didn't put myself in those situations. So, like, for example, as a basketball player, if the guys were going out and doing things that I didn't approve of, I stayed away from those situations. And then I just tried to form a bond with them and kind of work my way through that bond to maybe help them realize that maybe those are things that they shouldn't be doing if they were going to be a Christ-driven athlete. But I think, we all make mistakes, and thinking back from that, and I think, one of the biggest things that I learned through everything was I don't really regret anything that I did, because to me, it's all part of the process of becoming a stronger Christian, through those mistakes, through God's forgiveness.
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of times that's almost a good thing when you make mistakes, because then you learn from them and you grow from them. And that brings you, obviously, it will bring you closer to God through it all. And that's important that you always are coming back to God no matter what's going on. And yeah. I have basically the same question. Did you have any, were there any situations where you were, where you were with somebody and they were doing something wrong? And what did you do in the situation?
Well, again, one of the things that I thought that really helped me out a lot was I really did a lot to make sure I did not put myself in those situations as much as possible. I was pretty driven. I was lucky that, God put the game of basketball in my life, and it kind of helped me maintain my focus. So most of my time was spent with the ball. But I'll tell you, there was times probably on the basketball court where I did things that I probably would look back and say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. And, I think I went a lot, a lot of times I'd go go to prayer on that and, you know, ask God to help me control maybe, you know, my competitive instincts and those kind of things if they went over the line. But that was I think that's probably the battle that I kind of fought. But I would say that's probably where I, you know, how I'd answer that. But, you know, I mean, I had, you know, a couple friends that did some things that I didn't approve of. And there was a few times, you know, I can think of one in particular where I had to, you know, kind of cut a friend loose because he just, you know, I told him, like, I don't really approve of those things. And, you know, I can't hang with you if you're going to be doing those things, but I'll still be here for you. I'm still your friend, but I'm not going to, you know, do things outside of basketball with you because I just can't, I don't approve of that.
Oh, that's real. Like, even if you didn't exactly mean that as advice, I think that's great advice because if you have somebody on your team who you know does stuff that you really shouldn't do, and you're afraid if you're in a situation you're doing something with them that you would end up doing what they're doing, then just stay away from them, except for at practice, obviously. And that's really good advice, I think.
Well, you know, situations where I've had kids go to college and they struggled with that, and they even maybe left the team because they didn't approve of what players were doing. And I've kind of, I try not to use myself as an example that much because I think a lot of people have been even more successful than me at sports. And one player I use as an example a lot of times is maybe Tim Tebow. You know, when Tim Tebow was in the locker room in Florida, I'm sure there was a lot of guys in that locker room that were doing things that Tim Tebow wouldn't do. But it didn't mean he didn't have a relationship with them. It didn't mean that he didn't have a bond with them. And ultimately, you've got to form those bonds because I mean, ultimately, the goal of a Christian athlete is to set an example, all right, as a Christian, and to bring more into the faith and to be Christ-driven athletes. So you have to be able to form relationships with them. And a lot of times it doesn't start by just going to them and, you know, giving them scripture or preaching to them. It starts by setting an example in being a person of service. And I think if you're a person of service and you're really genuine about it, that shows through, and that's how you get a lot of times people to follow you, because no one really wants to follow somebody who is themselves. But if you're for everyone else and your main goal in life is to help make other people better, then, you know, and to build relationships, then it all falls together.
Yeah, that's really good, because like, if you're on a team and you don't approve of the things that other people are doing and you're like snotty about it and you're like, well, I'm not going to hang out with you because you do all this bad stuff, like they're going to look at you and be like, okay, what do I care? And they're not going to look at you as like if you were nice to them, even though you didn't approve of what they were doing and you still tried to build a relationship with them in practice, then they might look at you differently and be like, oh, she doesn't approve of it. Like, I know she doesn't like the things I do, but she's still really nice to me, you, whoever. And I think that's important that you go about what you're doing in a good way.
It's important to remember that we are all sinners, right? So but we're all sinners. And, you know, I think sometimes people that are really strong in their faith and in the word kind of forget about that. You know, there's only been one ever, and that's who you are. So to look down on someone for something like that, to me, just isn't right. Now, the fact that everyone says don't be judgmental. You have to be a little bit, or you'll get yourself in situations that it's hard to get out. So you have to be a little judgmental, but to look down on people, I mean, that's just, yeah, that's not my playbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you just got to go about, like you're saying, in a way when you're judging people, you have to, oh, if they do something wrong, I'm not going to be friends with them or whatever. But, I can still be friends with them. Good example with them, but I don't need to go everywhere with them and do everything with them. I think that would be a good thing to do, judging them in that way. And going off of this, I think that for a lot of Christians, it's hard, kids/teens, that it's hard for them to open about being a Christian because a lot of it has to do with that not as many Christians, I don't think, as there used to be, because now there's a lot of bad stuff that goes out in the world. So their friends are all asleep, and then their friends show them it, and they don't being a Christian because they don't want their friends to think that they're weird. And what would be your advice on being open about being a Christian and not being ashamed of that fact that you are a Christian?
Well, you know, with the way that things are now, I think it's even more prevalent than it was even when I was young, which was a long time ago. But, you know, this world and what we're seeing, you know, the social medias, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, you know, all of it is, you know, it can be used for good. But as a whole, when you really look into it and dive into it, it's pretty much evil and bad, because the primary focus of people's Instagram accounts, Facebook accounts is me. And look at me, look at me, I'm doing this, look at me, I'm doing that. And I think we always need to understand it's not about us. Okay, it's about Christ. I me personally, I never really let those things, like if people thought I was a Christian, they didn't think I never went my way, just because it's not about us. So the fact that people are maybe scared to let people know, I think we have to look at the picture here, realize it's not about what they think of us. From that standpoint, it's about, you know, our foundation, which is our faith. So to me, it always goes back to your foundation, your faith, and as a Christ-driven, in this situation, you know, athlete, not being afraid to represent Christ in everything you do. But, you know, I think it's a lot easier when you live the life. If you don't live the life, it's pretty hard to do that. You know, a lot of people try to, you know, to go to God when it's convenient for them. But at the same time, it's not always convenient. So you've got to be there during the bad times and the good times. And what you're talking about is a situation where it's not convenient. And are you going to step up to the plate and stand up for what you believe in? Because that time's coming for all of us.
Yeah, I think that you have to also remember, like, the earth is temporary, you know? You're not going to stay there forever. So if people look down on you because you're a Christian here, just think that when you go to heaven and you're with God, he accepts you, and you don't have to worry about what people on earth think, because that's just temporary, because you're not going to be here forever, and that's something important to remember. And this pretty much continues on to the next question, and that's, as athletes, it's really easy to stop focusing on God and start focusing on ourselves. And I was wondering, did you have times in your basketball career that you wandered away from God? And if you did, what did you do in that situation? And what would you do if you could go back and react differently?
This is a long answer, but when you're trying to be the best at anything, and when you're spending, you know, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 4 or 5 hours a day during the school year doing something all the time, it's really easy to become obsessed with that. And that's one of the things that I worry with the kids that we have. And that's why I kind of always kind of go back to, you know, a story. I thought as a kid that I was in control of things. Like, you know, when people would say, well, you're not going to be good enough, I would always come back to me, you know, well, I'll prove it to you. And, you know, I'm in control of this, and I'll work harder, and I write my script. And I can remember, you know, about, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, where it really hit me hard, because I think I was, you know, being I was about what I did, and then transferring that to the business, it's always there. It's always something you're fighting. To not let the things of this earth dominate you, you know. So, you know, there's things I'll talk about, I think, help with that. But, you know, I always tell a story about my grandmother, because when she was, I remember I thought that I could control things, and my grandmother's passing away, and she's with me. And, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can with the doctors and everything to try to keep her with us. And my grandma said, you know, it's my time. Jason just won't let me go. And I can remember thinking, you know, I'm not in control of this. You know, God writes this script. And I think I went back to that when I was a kid. And I realized that as I got older, and especially in that situation, that I can't control everything. It doesn't matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, God writes my script. And if you trust in God, the good and the bad, it will come out greater than you ever could have imagined. You know, like I always say, I wouldn't rewrite my script for anything in this world. And there's, you know, and it's really easy to think, you know, you can come back and steer it the way that you want it, but he's always going to put you where you're supposed to be. And if you trust in him, it'll, like I said, it'll be greater than you ever could have imagined. And I think that's a major component of remembering that is, you know, to do little things for athletes, you know. And one of the things that I always say, you have to keep everything in perspective, because I think kids with sports, and they get so, like I did, you know, they spend so much time that they think it's the world. And I had a kid the other day, and he said to me, he was having a rough time during season. And this kid is probably the hardest worker that I've ever had. You know, he reminds me a lot of myself. I said, look, man, wake up. You know, there's more to life than basketball. And when you tell me you feel like the world's falling in around you, you know, you need to get back to doing what you do. And that means I need you doing a devotional every day, so you don't lose track of what this is about. You wake up, and my grandpa told me when I was a kid, you start the day right, and to me, that's doing a devotion, and you end the day right, and to me, that's with prayer. So that's kind of my advice to everybody out there that kind of falls into that trap, which is easy to do if you're passionate about something.
Yes, I think that it's, especially as athletes, I think it's even probably more difficult, because you have a lot that you're doing, and it'd be very easy to be like, hey, look at me, I worked, I'm really great, and me, all this, when you really should be thinking that, you know, God gave you the drive, he gave you the talent, and that's something that should be important that you remember, that God's the one who's given you the gift. So really, you should be glorifying him and thanking him and showing others that he gave you the gift. And my next question is, how do you show people that you're a Christian?
Well, I mean, I would first and foremost that, you know, my actions, you know, I think if you just go out and talk the game and you start trying to sell people on that before you get to really buy into who you are and that you're a person of service and that you're trying to help other people, I think it kind of falls on deaf ears. So I think a big part of it is you have to be genuine. Like I've always said, you can't fake passion. Well, you can't fake faith either. So if that's the case, you have to live it, and you have to live it in everything you do. And I mean, everyone is a little different about the way that they live it. Okay. Like I'm probably a little harder, you know, on it than maybe some other people from a standpoint of how I do it. You know, it's a little bit rougher, maybe Old Testament sometimes, but you know, I think that's the first part. And then I think the second part is, you know, as I gradually get to know people, I think we have put that in. You know, I don't think it was apparent in our camps as much early when I started. You know, we always talk about make your teammates better, make everybody else around you better. The only success is team success. But as I've gotten older, I've kind of started putting it in more and more and more. And I just realized the importance of maybe kids who may look at some of the success I've had, whatever. And I want them to understand that, you know, it is from God, and it's a major part of how I live my life. And it can help you, especially as an athlete, and how to deal with adversity, how to deal with your relationships with your teammates. And hopefully you can carry it on from your sport to your life. And hopefully you don't get caught up in you know, like you said earlier, you would never want to make basketball your foundation. It's just your platform. Your foundation should always be your faith.
And the next question is, I'm just kind of curious, did you have like a person, like a Christian when you were younger that you looked up to as an example for how to live your life?
Well, you're going to have her on the show. So I've had a few, but I'm going to talk about probably, you know, I always tell everybody I have one autograph, and I've got some people and, you know, a lot of people that I looked growing up, you know, a lot of NBA players I looked up to, but Tanya Crevier. So without a doubt, hands down, is probably the person that I looked at. And, you know, I'm a different spirit than Tanya, but I've always looked at her as the example that as an athlete and how she, you know, gives her testimony and speaks to young people and is so genuine and honest. And she always brings that enthusiasm. It's always been impressive to me.
Good. You guys, you listeners, you're going to look forward to when that episode's coming out. And it's coming. Get ready for that one. It's going to be fun. And the next is, do you have something that you know now that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Well, I've already kind of talked about that. Like I said, I always kind of, even though I trusted in God, and I kind of always felt like I still wrote my script, you know, like I always felt like that was what you, it didn't matter what happened, what obstacle, that I would outwork you for it. I quickly realized as I aged that I don't know what I do, you know, and the faith that I developed through letting him lead me and him control my life rather than, you know, me try to dictate how it went. Not saying that, you know, you don't try to do your part every single day, but, you know, he'll always guide you the right way. And, you know, I think some of the big things that have helped me give him the wheel is, you know, the prayer every night and the devotions in the morning. And I talk a lot about self-reflection. And, you know, to me, self-reflection, you know, for some people, self-reflection is them writing down and doing those things. But to me, my self-reflection always comes through prayer when I speak to God. And that way, you know, I know that I'm kind of laying it out there for him and letting him guide me.
Yeah, that's really good. Like for me, when I reflect like every night, like right when I'm about to go to bed, is sometimes I'll get like really worked up about something and then I'm about to go to bed and I can't go to sleep. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll be laying there and I'll just talk to God. Like I'll just start talking to him and I'll just be talking and talking, and then I'll start to feel myself calm down. And as I'm talking, I'm calming down, and I get this peacefulness inside me, and it helps me to go to sleep a lot, because that's when I, like, reflect. I tell God, you know, what I'm feeling, what's going on in my life, and I think that helps a lot, is when you have a time that you spend with God every single day, that time that you speak to him, then it will show in your life. It'll show in all that stuff, everything you do. And that's why it's important to remember that everything you're doing is all for God. Because whether it's a sport or it's singing, like music, or writing books, like whatever it is, you always have to remember that you're doing it for God. That's where you have to remember. That's where it's the easiest thing to forget, is how to live all for God. And that is our last question, is what is your advice on how to live all for God? And before you answer, this can get like a little confusing, so I differ it for each person. And today I'm going to say, by that I mean, from as an athlete, it is super easy. Well, I pretty much already said this, but it's really easy to stop focusing on God. So what would be your advice to show in all of our actions that we do that we are living all for God?
Well, again, to me, there's a number of things here, you know, we could go into, and we've said kind of quite a few of them, but the first thing to me is the foundation and the service type mentality, because if you're truly living off for God, because it's really easy to get caught up, like you've said, and like I've said, into this worldly stuff, into maybe your next goal or whatever. But at the end of the day, the overall goal is, you know, to be a Christian, to live a Christian life, to go to heaven, and to take as possible, and to, well, to at least help as many people find their way. So at the end of the day, it's always to keep that service type mentality. Just like we've always said at the camps, you know, a great player can win a game, but a great leader can win a championship. And I mean, we've seen that even like if you just look at the NFL today with Tom Brady, he's not the best quarterback in NFL, but he's the greatest leader of all time. And he has a way about him of bringing people with him. And just like we saw with, you know, Tebow, when he made his run as a quarterback, he was not the best quarterback in NFL, probably not in the top 10, but he was the best at the time. I think they do that with that service type mentality. They step in every single day to practice saying, "Who did I make somebody around me better today?" You know, I think with the devotion in the morning, the prayer at night, and you going through the day saying, "How did I help somebody get better today?" Not maybe at the sport, but, you know, at anything. What did I do to really help people today? And you self-reflect on those things. I think that's the way, you know, that you show other people.
That's really good. And I also say thank you so much for joining us today. It has been amazing. Hopefully you guys listening enjoyed it. I know I did. And before we go, make sure that you guys listening tell family members and friends to listen to the podcast. It is now available on Pocket Casts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, and Apple Podcasts. There, make sure that you or your friends subscribe, and you can hit me with a message telling me what you think or who you think would make a great guest. You can also message me on Instagram at All For God Soul Deo Gloria Podcast, or on Messenger for Facebook at Chloe Cicero. Thanks again for listening, guys. And remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory.